Good morning. Welcome to worship in Nashville First. We're so glad that you are here. Thank you for being here this morning. As we step into the season of Thanksgiving, as over the next few days, many of us will most likely be traveling and gathering around tables with family, with loved ones, and be able to see around us all the kindness of God, the goodness of God, His faithfulness, and His blessings on our life. Out of that gratitude, we can worship Him and return that thanks back to Him. Psalm 100 says this: make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. We are here this morning to sing, to bless His name. Would you stand and join with us as we worship through song? Sing this together. Bless the Lord.
And bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we have so much to be thankful for. Most among them is the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, it's Him that we worship this morning. So, Father, stir our hearts. Father, this morning, may our hearts be plowed well so that the seed of Your Word gets planted. There's so much that we need to do today as we get into Your Word and Your Word gets into us. We're thankful, Father, for our pastor, Dr. Thomas West, who's now celebrating 1 year of leading us as pastor and people. We're grateful for him and pray now, Father, that You might bring the rest and the restoration that he needs. We're grateful for his wife, Elizabeth, tending to his side. So, Father, we pray for Your intercession that You might bring the ultimate healing that can come only from You. But now this morning, Father, stir our hearts to love and to good works as we get into what it means to be a church on revival, reaching the city of Nashville. This I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, and you may be seated. Today is going to be slightly different than what we were originally planned. There's going to be somebody different in the pulpit. That'll be the main change. Just yesterday, to let you know, Dr. West, our senior pastor, had a minor accident. He's going to be okay, but as a result of that, his doctor prescribed him rest and basically rest and recuperation for a couple of days. And we know that Sunday morning, trying to preach and all of the activity involved in that is more than what the doctor was comfortable with. But he's in good hands with Elizabeth this morning. And so we simply want to pray for him during these days as he rests and as God works a healing in his life. Now, if I might put on my pastoral care hat, because the doctors prescribed rest and recuperation, the last thing he needs is 500 of us calling him up and saying, "Hey, Pastor, how are you doing?" And so he is doing well. He's going to be back with us next week. I'm going to let him share the story. And next week, and so don't ask me when we're leaving what happened to him. And so he's going to be fine. And so we just need to allow the healing to take place. He already knows that you want to call, that you want to express your concern, and he's so grateful for that. But the best way that we can serve our pastor right now is to allow the healing to take place. He will be back with us next Sunday morning. And so we're looking forward to that. If you're one of our guests, we're so grateful that you chose to worship with us today. And you'll see in the pew in front of you, you'll see one of these Connect cards. And you can take one of these Connect cards. You can turn it over if you prefer to use one of the QR codes there. You're open and welcome to do so. But we'd love just to connect back with you to let you know how grateful we are that you are part of our worship this morning. If you want to know more about our church, perhaps there's a prayer need that you have. Every week, we have several of these cards are turned in, oftentimes just simply asking for prayer. And we have prayer warriors ready to lift up your prayer need. We're having at the end of the service, you're going to see some of our deacons lined up. If you have a prayer need, you can come and speak to them as well. But we're grateful that you're here. We're grateful that you chose to worship with us today. Now let's stand up and move around and welcome those people that are seated around you.
Please join me in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Creator of heaven and earth, I thank you for this opportunity to come before you, as well as the presence of your Spirit within our midst. Thank you for sustaining us both physically and spiritually. Father, please take this church, these people, and mold us to be of one heart, one mind, and one soul. May we respond to the call for revival, first within these walls, and then to go forth onto Broadway and beyond, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ will be proclaimed throughout this city. Open your word to us today so that we may be consecrated to be the instruments of your work. I lift up our pastor and our worship leaders and ask your blessings on them. May their words find residence within each person here. And now, as one body, pray with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Revival. It is more than one single moment. It is more than one flash of light in the dark, more than a whisper into the silence. Revival is more. Revival is movement, life back in motion. Revival is change, transformation, renewal. This is the hope for the city, for our city. God, revive us. For the single parent, for the homeless, God, revive us. On Broadway, in boardrooms, God, revive us. We are ready. We are listening. We are waiting for the good of this city, for the glory of your name. God, revive us.
Good morning. This is week 8, the final week of our sermon series on Revive. But we need to understand that Revive is more than just a sermon series. It's a strategic plan to renew our hearts, to renew our church, Nashville, First Baptist Church, to engage our city of Nashville. Spiritual renewal, when you think about it, is not just something that you wake up one day and go, okay, hey, I've been thinking about it. I think today I'll be spiritually renewed. No, it's not something we just make up. Spiritual renewal comes when the Holy Spirit is working in your life and working in my life as we get more into the Word and get Word more into us, so that every day there's more of Christ within us and less of, well, you. That's what spiritual renewal is about. Today we're looking at revival on Broadway. Specifically, let's drill down in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 33. And as you're turning there, let's sort of set this up. Anytime we get into the Word of God, it's always helpful to put the passage that we're reading into context. And so let's go back a little bit before and get a running start into Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. Because what we see in the previous passage, just prior to this, is that Peter and John, two of the disciples, two followers of Jesus Christ, have been arrested. Their charge was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and healing a lame man. There was opposition to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And in reaction to this opposition, instead of cowering back, instead of saying, well, that didn't work, I guess we need to come up with plan B. No, what we see in this passage we're about to read is that when Peter and John came back to the disciples, they engaged in prayer. And like their previous prayers, this one points to the church's dependence on God's strength to fulfill the mission God had called them to achieve. If we're going to be the church of Nashville, Nashville's church, this passage is going to be our model. Because what we see in this passage is what we can expect and what we anticipate and what we pray God will do. Their prayer, once again, asks for the name of Jesus to be exalted through the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray and ask God's blessings on His Word. Our Father God, as we get into Your Word, we pray that Your Spirit might till up the soils of our heart, that the seeds of Your Word would be planted, and that Your Holy Spirit would water that seed so that today, this morning, we leave here changed people. We leave here a people unified to accomplish the mission that You've called us to do. Father, we cannot do this independently. We cannot do this without You. We cannot do this without Your Spirit working in and through us. And we surely can't do this alone. It takes all of us with the Spirit working united in all of us to accomplish Your mission. This is our prayer. This, Father, we depend upon You. May we be a people of change to change the city of Nashville. This I pray and beg in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look into the Word. Acts chapter 4, 23 through 33. When they were released, this is Peter and John, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed.' For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and of one soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him were his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This is God's word. And especially in this time of Thanksgiving, we're grateful for his holy inspired word. Our final message, revival on Broadway. So let's think about revival. What comes to mind when you think about revival? Perhaps it's a quiet personal moment. Sometimes you just need to get alone and think. Now, for me personally, Ruth can attest to this. The way that I like to get aside and to have some quiet time and let God speak to me is I wash my car. Because anytime you say, "Hey, I'm about to go wash my truck and wash Ruth's car, would you like to help?" all of a sudden, everybody has something else they want to do, which gives me perfect peace and quiet for me to spend time with God washing the truck. It worked yesterday, honey. Right after I got off a phone call with Pastor Thomas, I said, "Before I get into the word, I need to get into prayer. Honey, get me a bucket." Sometimes we think revival comes from personal time with God. Other times we think that it's a citywide movement. We've seen recently, in just a few years past, revival breaking out on college campuses. Sometimes some of you remember when revival happened in the fall and in the spring and was a week long of every night, sometimes every lunchtime and night, that we had a special evangelist came in and we call that a revival. There's lots of things that we call revival. But one thing that we can think about when we think about revival is we can pray that revival happens today. We can pray that revival happens in this church, because before we can be a church of the city, we've got to be a revived people. We see this in Acts chapter 4. The early church faced opposition. They faced uncertainty. But what we see is their response wasn't fear. They did not cower and say, "Okay, now we've got to come up with another plan because plan A did not work." What we see is their response was extraordinary prayer and boldness. So what if we prayed like that? What if we prayed, "God, we want to be the church of the city. Come, Lord Jesus." What if we were bold in the actions that we took as a church? What if God's Spirit moved powerfully, beginning here and moving out to the city, and then from the city down to the suburbs beyond? There's a cycle of revival. In fact, there are four elements that are often seen in the cycle of revival. And we see them clearly in this passage. We see crisis. We see seeking. Then there's visitation. And then there's world impact. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, 23 through 33, we see a pattern of restoration. We see a pattern of renewal. We see a pattern of revival. First, we see a crisis. That comes in chapter 4, verses 17 to 18. We see a persecution from outside causes the crisis. This persecution comes not from unbelievers. Well, they do, because they come from the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. Today, it may be the church and it may be those outside of the church. But here's what Acts 4, 17 and 18 says. But in order that it, meaning the gospel message of Jesus Christ, may spread no further among the people, let us, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees, let us warn them, Peter and John, to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they call them and charge them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. So first, we see a crisis. Second, we see extraordinary seeking. The people came together and break out of themselves and seek God in an extraordinary, prevailing, and consistent way. Third, there's a shaking. There's a visitation. We see a descending of God Himself. And then fourth, the people are so transformed that they turn to the world and the world is changed. We see crisis. We see seeking. We see visitation. We see world impact. Let's drill down and see what God's Word has to teach us today. First of all, there's a crisis that leads God's people to pray. After being released, Peter and John reported the threats against them. But instead of retreating, the believers came together in a unified period of prayer. Revival for you and for me begins with extraordinary prayer that seeks God's will over personal safety and comfort. What would it look like for you and for I to prioritize bold, Spirit-led prayer? What would it look like for we coming together as a church to be bold, Spirit-led prayer throughout our church? It's possible. Second, there is extraordinary seeking of God. There was a focus on God's sovereignty. We see in verse 24, they prayed, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth." There was an acknowledgement that God's authority is over all creation. God's authority is over all history, including today. We fix our eyes on God's sovereignty, not on our circumstances. It's not about programs, but it's about prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, "Seek my face." There was boldness in the mission before them. In verse 29, they asked not for protection, but instead for boldness to proclaim the gospel. Revival thrives on boldness and not comfort. Revival on Broadway and a gospel boldness has happened before, and it can happen again. On the night of May 10th, 1885, riverboat captain Thomas Green Ryman arrived at a downtown religious revival on the corner of Spruce and Broad Street. That is today the corner of 8th Avenue and Broadway. He came to see what all the fuss was about and to kill a man who was preaching. At the time, Thomas Ryman was a prominent 44-year-old businessman. He was the owner of a major riverboat company. In fact, he possessed 35 ships as well as various saloons and side businesses that catered to the rowdy side of river life. Ryman directly profited from illegal alcohol, from gambling, and let's just say, to keep it family friendly, other immoral behavior that Reverend Sam Jones was set to rail against that night at the revival. And that tent revival had been going on for weeks, and hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of our citizens were coming to Christ and were turning away from these businesses run by Thomas Ryman. And Thomas Ryman was going broke. What we see when he arrived with a few friends was to check out what was going on. You see, he had put the word out and challenged Sam Jones to a duel. Now, dueling in the state of Nashville in 1885 was illegal, but it was somewhat winked upon as a way that gentlemen might settle disagreements. And so he challenged this preacher to a duel. Sam Jones accepted the duel with one stipulation, and that is that Thomas Ryman would show up one night at his revival on the corner of 8th and Broadway. What we see next is nothing short of a miracle. Sam Jones, when he came, arrived simply as a spectator, but he left a changed man, because during that message, as Sam Jones opened the same word that we have today, God's Spirit took hold of his heart and changed Thomas Ryman. And from that moment, Thomas Ryman pledged that no longer should the citizens of Nashville have to meet in a tent on the corner of 8th and Broadway. But he set about to take his fortune, what was left of it, and with others, and to build a building large enough that the city of Nashville could meet in to hear the likes of Sam Jones and other evangelists. And so 7 years later, the Union Gospel Tabernacle was completed, the building that you and I now refer to as the Ryman Auditorium. Folks, the revival on Broadway started right up here, a 2-minute walk for most of us, the corner of 8th and Broadway. It extended from 8th and Broadway down 2 blocks to right off of 5th Avenue with the establishment of the Union Gospel Tabernacle, where the Word of God was preached. And if you look from the corner of 8th and Broadway to the corner of 5th and Broadway, what do you see in the middle of all that? You see this church. Do you think when this location was chosen by the body of Christ that it was random? That those men and women that said, under the power and the authority of God's holy word, we're going to establish a church here to be the church of the city? It was right where revival was taking place. Folks, revival has already occurred in this very location. God can do it again. Third, we see God's response. There's a shaking and a filling. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The place where they were praying was physically shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There was a spirit of gratitude that overflowed their hearts when they recognized God's activity in their lives. Folks, when the Spirit fills us, we are empowered not only for boldness, but also for generosity. We see, number 4, a unified community takes on the world. In verse 32, they were united in purpose. Now, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and of one soul. There was a heart of radical generosity. They shared everything in common, living as stewards rather than as owners. Radical generosity, folks, is a mark of a revived people. Generosity fuels revival by meeting tangible needs and pointing and giving God the glory for His abundance. So let me encourage you with this thought. Revival leads to thanksgiving, and thanksgiving leads to revival. As we approach Thanksgiving this week, let's consider the role that gratitude plays in revival. Gratitude aligns our hearts with God's purpose and opens us up to His Spirit. Gratitude fuels revival by reminding us of God's faithfulness and God's power. He's done it in the past. He can do it now as we trust Him. This Revive is about our 2-year strategic plan. If you have your Revive booklet, by now it's tattered and worn from all of these weeks. But if you open it up to page 5 and 6, you can see what our 2-year strategic plan is about. First of all, it's developing a culture of prayer. Prayer was foundational for the early church's revival, and it must be ours too. So we're looking at initiatives such as a dedicated prayer room, seasons of prayer. We've already had once in the fall, twice, that we've gathered together on Sunday evenings for the sole complete purpose of just prayer. We're looking at maybe having a boiler room prayer team where during every major event, during every worship service, there's a dedicated group of people that are praying throughout that service for God to move on the hearts of people. So commit to pray daily for boldness and awakening here in Nashville, beginning with us at Nashville First Baptist Church. Extraordinary prayer paves the way for extraordinary moves of God's Spirit. Second, building a college and young adult ministry. The next generation is vital to the future of revival. So some initiatives include calling a college minister, having campus engagement, midweek worship in the Broadway Chapel. Nashville, Tennessee is known as the Athens of the South because of its reputation as a center of learning and its dedication to higher education. Think of all the colleges and universities throughout this city that are ripe for a college minister to help touch the lives of collegiates, touch them with the gospel. How can you support or mentor the next generation? That's our challenge. Investing in young adults is investing in the future of the church. Third, engaging the city. Revival isn't confined to this building. In fact, revival spills out from here into the streets. So some initiatives are partnerships with local schools, community events, church-led tailgates. We recently had a fall festival. Coming up in December, you're going to hear more about Rocking Around the Christmas Tree, where we're literally opening the doors to the city of Nashville. Local engagement of the city. Revival transforms cities when our church moves outward in mission. Number 4, equipping our deacons for ministry. A revived church cares deeply for its community. So an initiative includes training our deacons for care and for shepherding. Every Sunday, there are deacons that come down here at the end of the service. And so if you have a prayer need, you can come to one of these men or women, and they're here ready to pray. They're prepared, they're trained, they're ready to go. If you want to know about what it means to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, come to one of them. They are equipped and trained on how to lead you to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We're empowering our deacons to lead and care deeply for community. Our hospital visitation is augmented by our deacons. A revived church serves as the hands and the feet of Jesus. And 5, staffing for the future. Healthy leadership is essential for sustained impact. Initiatives such as staff care, retreats, and healthy rhythms. Investing in our leadership ensures a thriving, gospel-centered church. So we have so much to be thankful for as a church. Over this last year, it's all gone so fast, we've clarified what our mission is. Our mission, we exist to help connect Jesus to people, people to community, and community to mission. We've shown our vision. Our vision is to be the church for the city. And now we have a 2-year strategic mission plan. So now's the time, and we have every reason to give thanks to God. Because in every great move of God, we see the elements of opposition. We see prayer. We see how God gives his presence. We see ministry. And we see unity and generosity. Revival on Broadway. What would revival look like? Imagine lives transformed, communities restored, and Nashville shining as a city on a hill. Revival doesn't stop with us. It spills into the streets and transforms the city, and then the city transforms the suburbs. So, Alan, what is it that you're calling me to do? What is it that I can do? Number one, you can pray boldly for God's Spirit to move in your life. Second, you can live generously as stewards of God's blessings. Third, you can engage actively in the mission of Nashville First Baptist Church. And fourth, you can trust God to bring revival to Nashville, starting with me and starting with you. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. We see in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken." There was a physical shaking of the room that was a visible reminder of God's power. It signified that something new was being unleashed, a spirit-filled boldness that would spread revival far beyond the gathering in that one room. This shaken, this moment, echoes another shaking that we see in Scripture. And that happened at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:2, the Bible says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." The shaking of the earth at Jesus' resurrection wasn't just a physical event. It was a declaration of victory over sin. It was a declaration of victory over death. And it was a declaration of a victory over hell. That same resurrection power that shook the grave now fills you and me through the Holy Spirit. We see that in Romans 8, verse 11. The resurrection of Jesus broke the power of death. The filling of the Spirit breaks the power of fear. Just as the resurrection and the shaking in Acts 4 pointed to a new life, a new mission, God is calling us to experience a shaking in our own hearts. Hosea 10, verse 12. "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you." Fallow ground, that's a phrase we've heard before. What exactly is fallow ground? Well, fallow ground is uncultivated, hardened soil. Hosea calls God's people to break it up, to prepare their hearts for the rain of his righteousness. Everybody who lives on a farm or was raised on a farm or passed by on the highway a farm knows that it's the tractor tilling up the ground that gets the soil ready to accept the seed. And that growth and crops will not happen if the ground is not prepared. Folks, we need to pray that God would unfurrow our hearts, that his Spirit would till us and get ready for the seed of his Spirit for revival to break out. The Spirit-filled boldness that we see in Acts 4 was only possible because their hearts were open, they were receptive, and they were ready for God's work. The early church broke up fallow ground of their own fears and doubts through unified prayer and bold obedience. Revival requires hearts that are broken up, that are tilled up, and shaken by God's Spirit. Folks, we can't do revival on our own. It has to come through the power of God working in you. So what areas of your heart have grown hard or fallow? Where does God need to break up the ground to sow seeds of righteousness? In just a moment, there's going to be a song, and during that song, the altar is going to be open. It may be that you need to come and ask God for boldness. It could be that you need to come and pray for unity. Or perhaps you pray this in the pew where you stand. But pray for boldness. Pray for unity. Pray for revival in your heart. Pray for our church. And pray for the city of Nashville that the revival that has happened before would happen again, beginning today. Let's pray. Our Father God, this morning, we pray, Sovereign Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would shake us from complacency and use us to bring revival to Nashville. Father, we can't do this on our own. It needs to be this entire body being changed people. And the change of people can only come from you. So, Father, we acknowledge you this morning, depend upon you, and we pray that we do this in the power and the glory of the resurrected power that comes from Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Open for you. You need to do business with the Lord. Our deacons will be here to pray with you, to welcome you, to share in whatever need might be on your heart as you bring it to the God of the universe. For those of you who are guests today, you honor us with your presence. We're so glad that you're here. Pastor Allen has a time of meeting with you out here in the foyer, has a gift for you, and we want to get acquainted with you so we can learn how we can partner together to reach this city for the cause of Jesus Christ. It was just yesterday afternoon, about mid-afternoon, that we learned that Pastor Thomas wouldn't be here, and Alan rose to the challenge and the opportunity, and didn't he do a great job? And let's say thank you to God. Amen, amen. And we want to connect with those of you who are joining us in fellowship and ministry to reach this city for Jesus Christ. We have Next Step opportunities out in the foyer. Also, next Sunday, immediately following worship, is our Next Steps luncheon. We want you to be a part of that, get better acquainted, and learn more about the life and work of our church. Now, you can plug into different ministries that we have to offer. In the season of giving thanks, we want you to know, each and every one of you, to know that we're grateful for you. We pray God's blessings upon you, and as you celebrate with friends and family, remember that each and every perfect gift comes from God the Father, from the Father of lights above. Let's give him thankful hearts this season of giving and giving thanks and sharing the love of Christ. Let's close our service today by singing the doxology.